Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Morning. Good morning. We're so glad to have you here together today. A little boy over here, I just thought Jonah. You know, Jonah ran from the call of God. When he comes back, he's going to be even stronger and bring the word. So I love seeing our kids in here. As Pastor Joe said, I mean, we're not raising kids around here. We're raising adults. We're raising kids to follow Jesus. We're raising adults, you know. So it's very important that we get a chance for them to expose. See, this is what they're heading into, you know. Hey, Jason, could you do me a favor and close those doors? Thank you. I was already starting to feel the heat coming right through the front door. Whew. Well, my name is Matthew Rowland. For those of you who don't know, we're glad to have you in person. Thank you so much for joining us online. We're going to continue our study today that we've been going through called the Seven Realities for Experiencing God, how to know and do the will of God. So if this is your first time with us, welcome. We want to get you up to speed. And for those of you who might be watching online and you're not aware of the study, we want to just give you a brief recap. And so as we continue this series, we're going to ask you to do three things. Number one is make sure you get the book. Hey, we want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to get the book. And number two, don't just buy the book, put it on your bookshelf like some people do, let it get dusty. We want you to take this book and go through it with us. This is the study that we're making our Bible study through the series. So please do that with us. And if you didn't get a chance to see the other messages or maybe missed one or two, I want you to go back and rewatch those on our YouTube channel. And while you're there, like and subscribe to the channel, okay? If you can do that, just nod your head and say yes. Okay, there's no covenant of blood here. Just, you know, a good faith effort to do your best to do that. If you'll please show us the primary screen that we've been going through, the graphic. These are the seven realities that we've been talking about during the study. And Pastor Derek got us kicked off on the study by reminding us how we were created to have an intimate personal relationship with God forever. And we were created to serve, know, and love Him. He's the center of it all. So we want to start with the foundational truth that we're supposed to have a God-centered life. And he did a great job getting the ball rolling for us. And then Philip Moss, one of our executive team members, he talked about the first reality in this study. The first reality is that God is always at work all around us. He's at work. He didn't just make us poof and then just watch from afar. Hopefully everything goes okay. No, God is actively involved in the universe that he created and still is to this day. Pastor Robert gave us a reminder that that God pursues a love relationship with us that's both personal and intimate. He's not just an aloof God who we got to get his attention. Hey, Dad, here, help me out. I need your wisdom. No, he's right there with us, attentive to us as a loving father. And then last week, Pastor Nancy and Melena Varell and Laura Weir gave us a great word on how God invites us. He wants us to be a part of what he's doing. He's not just the ringmaster in his circus and we're there as spectators. No, God created us in the universe and he wants us to be involved at work with him and what he's doing. He invites us to be a part. Now, we still have a couple realities to go, so this is not the end of our series, but today we're going to be talking about the reality that God spoke in the past and he is still speaking and he wants to speak to you and to me. And this is a truth that for some of you, this will be a reminder, but for many, this will be the first time you've heard this truth before. And I'm excited because I know when we speak and preach and teach the truth of God's word, Jesus promised us this. He promised that the truth will set you free. So I am very, very thankful that God invited me to deliver this message today because I know for some people in this room, the truths that you hear today will help set you free. The Bible says that error binds us, but truth will bring freedom and deliverance and life. And it's not doesn't mean that you're not a Christian, but for many of us, we struggle with wrong ways of thinking, with wrong ideas, wrong understanding of who God is. And when the truth comes, it sets us free, and breaks the shackles, and helps us to walk in the fullness of what God created us for. So I'm excited to bring truth today. And I know that God's going to do some great things in many of our hearts and our lives. Now, it's appropriate for us to pause now, humble ourselves, and invite the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do. So will you pray with me as we begin our time together? Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We thank you for your active presence. It's a lie that you're on the move. Father, we thank you for making us and creating us to enjoy fellowship with you for all eternity. Jesus, we thank you for bridging the gap, for connecting us again and reconciling us to the Father. And we simply acknowledge your presence here today. We ask you, please do what only you can do. We don't want to try to manufacture something that you're not trying to do. Rather, we want to jump on board with what you're doing. Help us, Holy Spirit, to get it, to make sense of it. Bring truth where we need it so we can walk in the freedom that you promised. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, God speaks to us to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. From the very beginning in Genesis, what do we see God doing? God spoke, and it was so, and it was good. And all throughout the Bible, we see God speaking. And right up to the very end, the second to last verse of the Bible, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. And all throughout the pages of these 66 books, God is speaking to his people. He spoke then, and he speaks now, and he wants to speak to each and every one of us. He's not dead. God is not running from us. Now, he may be hiding. I think we see that in scriptures, right? He's like a good dad who's playing hide and seek with his kids. He doesn't get in the car and drive down the street and hide at the neighbor's house. No, he goes in the living room. He stands behind the curtains. You can see his shape through the sunlight coming through the curtains. You see his shoes. He's not hard to find. But the Bible does say that God, he wants us to seek him with all of our heart. And when we do that, we'll find him. He's a good father. He invites us to come find me. I'm right here, but I'm not going to make it easy. It's going to be kind of easy, but you got to look. You got to seek me. God wants to be discovered. He wants to be wanted. He wants us to pursue him. And it doesn't take much, but he does ask us to do that. Thankfully, he's not dead. He's not running, but he's hiding just a little bit. Now, God speaks in many different powerful ways. That's part of what we're going to discover and talk about here today, is some of the ways that God speaks to us and wants to speak to us. Hebrews chapter 1 says it this way, that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. You see, God is not limited by human language. He doesn't just speak English. He speaks Spanish and Portugal and Ukrainian and Romanian. He speaks Farsi. He speaks every language there is and then some, even the language that have passed away. God can speak in many incredible ways. I love what Molena said last week in Pastor Nancy's message. She said that God uses a language that we can understand. God uses a language that we personally can understand. He speaks in a way that we can hear. Isn't that God? Of course he would. He loves us. He's for us. He wants to communicate with us. And so as we talk about different ways that God speaks, we're going to share some, but this is not an exhaustive list. The point is not so much that we write down and get the methods so that we can come up with the formula, so that we can guarantee we're going to hear God's voice by doing everything perfectly right. No, that's not the point. The point is that he does speak and he wants to speak, and we should be looking all around us because we never know in what way, shape, or fashion he might speak. But he speaks, and he speaks to you and me, and that's the point, okay? Now, one of the ways that God speaks is through his creation. I love this. It says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Have you ever sat with your kids or a loved one, just watch the stars at night? I mean, how awesome is it to just realize, man, this didn't come from nothing. This came from something. This came from a God who loves me. Creation, the mountains, the majesty of the ocean shore. I mean, there's no limit to how beautiful God's creation is, and its arid places and its saturated places. God speaks through his creation. Romans 1:20 says that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what was made. Imagine there was a time when Adam and Eve didn't quite have a language. They couldn't quite communicate to each other, didn't know how to talk to God, and yet God was speaking. They didn't have the words written down, yet God was speaking them to them through creation because they could understand, is what it says. Now, Moses, in our book, he's the case study, and we see that Moses, he's an example for how God spoke through creation. Here's a burning bush. Drew Moses' attention. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. God speaks through creation. We know Jonah. God spoke to him, he disobeyed, and God said, okay, he's not going to listen to my voice. Maybe he'll listen to this whale who I'm going to swallow him up with, right? How silent and still must it have been in the belly of the whale, right? And then when the whale spits him back out onto the earth, God says the same thing over again to him because he didn't listen the first time, right? God spoke through a whale, said stop. God spoke to Balaam through a donkey. This is a Bible story. We believe the Bible is true. This really happened. A donkey's mouth opened up and spoke to Balaam because Balaam was so oblivious to the presence of God. How many times have we been in the presence of God and we were just oblivious, didn't even realize it? Okay, that's Balaam's story. So because Balaam was so thick-headed, God opened up his donkey, was right here, opened up his mouth to speak to Balaam so he'd get the message. God speaks in many and various ways. And God spoke to the wise men, showed him the star, follow this, and it'll lead you all the way to the place that I prophesied my son would be born and would live. God speaks through creation. Let's open up our ears and be aware of that reality. Another way that God speaks is through our circumstances. God speaks through our ordinary, everyday circumstances. For example, God speaks through our work, right? He can speak while we're working. Moses, again, was, you know what he was doing when he saw the burning bush? He was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He was leading them to green pastures. He was discovering new waterfalls for them to drink from. He was taking responsibility, doing day after day after day for 40-some years in the desert, doing what he knew to do. And in that moment that God spoke to him in his circumstances, in his work. What about your bank account? Has anybody ever heard from God through your abundance or your lack of finances, right? That is God. You know, you don't need that boat, okay? Just go ahead and make sure you provide food and pay tuition. You don't need the boat right now, okay? God can speak through your bank account. He can speak through the place that you're living, where you're living right now. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's not an accident. You're not in a terrible neighborhood. You're in a place where God can use you to be salt and light. Don't always aspire for the next greatest place because God may have you where you're at. He's really good. God is really good about creating this divine concoction, this amazing recipe of your finances and your job and your family and your spouse and your circumstances. He wants to create a recipe that's going to be divinely inspired and meant to use you for his purposes and his glory. Don't fight against that. Don't always complain about where you're living. God may have you right there for a purpose and a season and a reason. God speaks through open doors. Paul in Ephesus was seeing a lot of people come to know the Lord. And he said, God has opened a great door for ministry for me. Now get this. He also said there's a lot of opposition. Okay, so he had an open door for ministry. Even though he was opposed and oppressed by others, he still saw the fruit of his ministry. And so in a way, God is saying, look, this is an open door. Keep going through it. Don't worry about the haters. They're always going to be there. You have an open door for ministry, and some of you have an open door. I got a call from Pastor Joe, my old company. I was Inc. 500 company doing accounts payable. Day after day, week after week, I got a call. Hey, you got a call in the break room. Some guy's on the phone for you. Pastor Joe said, hey, could you come and help me? We need help with our kids and with the bookkeeping. I said, yes, absolutely. I was at work when I got the call from God through Pastor Joe. Now, another way that God speaks besides circumstances or creation, he speaks in the place of prayer. And prayer is simply talking to and listening to God. We can way overcomplicate this one. We have to get it just right, or we have to be so humble. No, prayer is just communication with God, sometimes in a personal individual setting, sometimes in a corporate setting. And I brought my ace in the hole, my wife Jane Rowland. She's going to come and share about a time that she was praying and God spoke to her. I think you're really, really, every time I hear this story I get encouraged. So if for no one else, this is okay, she's here for me. Yeah, yes, thank you, sweetheart.
I'm going to share this story because it says in Psalm, I will tell of the wonders of the Lord, and I will speak it aloud. It's not because he needs to be reminded, it's because we need to be reminded, and somebody here needs to hear this story. So I'm going to tell you this story. But first, to understand this story, I need to make sure you know my name. What's my name?
Jane.
Yeah. Well, I've been telling this story for 30 years, so that's going to tell my age. I actually turned 47 yesterday.
Yeah. So beautiful. Congratulations.
But 30 years ago, it was the spring of 1993, and I was a senior in high school. I was 17 years old, and I had grown up in a Christian home, you know, had heard about God speaking really my whole life, and that was just a normal thing for me. So encouragement number one, make it normal to your kids that God speaks.
That's right.
But anyway, I was 17 years old. I knew that I had a heart for ministry and a heart for missions, and I just didn't know how I was going to get there, how God was going to lead me in that way. And do you ever have days that you never forget? Yeah. This is a day I'll never forget. It was a normal day. I worked at a Bible gift shop in Martinsville, Virginia. I went to Martinsville Christian School. I went to Martinsville Christian Fellowship. So it was just a normal day for me at work, and I was closing up shop, and I just remember that whole day just feeling like this urgency in my spirit, like even an anxiousness / urgency to know what God had for me next. And that day I just worked like normal, came home from work, and it was kind of late, and I looked on my bed. I had a white bedspread, and the only thing sitting on it was a magazine. And I got this magazine several times throughout the year. It was called Campus Life. And it was just a Christian magazine for high schoolers and college students. And this magazine was sitting on my bed. And I remember walking in my room and still, like I said, just feeling this urgency to know what God had for me next. And I saw this magazine on my bed. And I said, God, will you speak to me through this magazine? Just a simple childlike faith, asking him if he would speak. And I went right up to my bed. I closed my eyes, 17-year-old Jane Stifler. I closed my eyes and I opened that magazine. And I didn't fiddle through the pages. I opened the magazine, opened my eyes, and a half-page ad said, "See, Jane, go. Go, Jane, go. You can go too. Get there with Youth with a Mission, Tyler, Texas." Now, Youth with a Mission was a mission, one of the largest Christian missionary organizations in the world. I had barely heard about it. It's short for YWAM, which some of you have heard of that. I went running and woke up my parents and said, "I'm going to Texas. I'm going to YWAM." And I was barely, yeah. So I was barely 18 years old, and my parents sent me off to YWAM, and I got to serve in missions for years, and then God called us here. The words my dad said to me before he put me on the plane was, "You're going to meet your husband." I was like, "No, I'm going to be in the jungle translating Bibles," but I got him instead. So
it's kind of a jungle at our house. Our house is kind of a jungle.
But I just want to encourage you guys that God speaks. I think some of you need to hear today that you do not have a silent father. Yes. You might have grown up with one that was silent or didn't maybe show the love or the affection or the words that you needed to hear, but he wants you to know that he is not silent. It says in John that my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You are known by the Heavenly Father, by the King of Kings, and he loves you so much. And I want to encourage you with one more thing, is that make it a practice. In the morning when you wake up, simply say, "God, I'm listening. Will you speak to me?" And I promise you're going to hear him speak.
That's good. That's good, sweetheart. Thank you. Getting goosebumps. That's so good. Here, just take the rest of the time, please. This is the advertisement we got. So how cool is that? I mean, just like Jane said, I mean, if that was you, put yourself in her shoes. How would that make you feel in your relationship with God after hearing a direct word like that? I mean, can you imagine it made her feel so much closer to God and believe that he exists and trust that he's got a plan for her life? And one of the takeaways from that story for Jane is she was completely surrendered as best as she knew how to the will and the ways and the purposes of God. When she prayed, "God, tell me what you want me to do with this life that's yours." You know, and that's one of the keys to hearing God's voice. You have to be desiring to hear his will. If you're just putting, you know, tokens in a cosmic jukebox, hoping to get your song to come up eventually, that's not how it works. God wants to tell you about his plan for your life and how it fits into the big picture. We got to have a God-centered life. It's not going to work if we get the magical incantation just right so we can hear what we want to hear. That's not God's plan. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to speak to us about his will for our lives. And when we pray, he's going to align us with his purposes. We're going to understand and know him better. We're going to see him more clearly as a father. And it's going to make sense when he tells us to do something, how it fits in to his master plan. Now, that's one of the ways that God speaks, through creation, circumstances, through just that prayer. It's speaking to your heart or giving you such a, I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? That's, he might do that for you. I don't know. You know, sometimes I think he loves Jane more than me, but you know, I know the Bible says he loves us all the same. So God speaks through people. God spoke through Moses. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Spoke to Abraham, spoke through Peter, spoke through Paul. And I love that God took the time to make himself into a person in the form of Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God, made flesh, dwelt among us. The Word was with God in the beginning, and yet God wanted us to know that he speaks through people, so he made himself a person, sent him down to the earth and spoke to the people of that time, and still speaks to us today according to Hebrews. God most often speaks, in my experience, through our delegated authority. So who might that be? Well, it might be that the Bible says that there's prophets given to us to encourage us, to rebuke us, to train us, to edify us. So God speaks through spiritual leaders, through apostles, through our pastors, through our small group leaders, but he's not limited to just those people. He might speak through your CEO, your bosses, your teachers, your parents. That's why one of the commandments is honor your father and mother. You may not have a godly mom or dad, but he can still speak through your parents, okay? And if you don't want to listen to any of those people, I'll tell you what God's going to do. My experience is, if you won't listen to them, then when you get a speeding ticket, he's going to speak to you through the state trooper and tell you to slow down, okay? If you won't listen to all these awesome, encouraging people, he's going to stop you at some point, right? He's going to speak to you through that state trooper. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. We could talk about how God speaks to us through our desires. We could talk about how God gives us dreams or visions. Again, there's many and various ways that God can speak. He's not limited to human language. The point is that God speaks, and he wants to speak to us today. And the primary way, the most important way he's going to speak to us is through the Bible, is through his word. You see, this is simply as many things, but one of the primary things we should see it as is a love letter. Your Father in heaven loves you. Very, very much. He knew that you might doubt or have trouble believing or feel like you can't hear his voice. So you know what he did? He wrote a love letter to you and to all of us who call on his name, telling us how much he loves us, how he cares for us, what he created us for, the purposes that he has in mind for our lives. God gave us this book. And it's not just a love letter. It's an instruction manual for life. I used to hear it say back in the 80s, the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, okay? It's full of reminders of what to do, warnings of what not to do, rewards for doing the right thing, encouragements for us. This book is meant to be an instruction manual for our lives, and it really is a standard by which every other word that we hear from God is measured, okay? God's not going to speak to you something through your circumstances or through a person or through creation that doesn't match up and line up with his word. This is the ace of spades. This is a standard. It's the plumb line. It's the trump card. This is what every word from God should line up with if we're hearing from him. Psalm 119 says about itself, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed. It comes from him, every bit of it. It's useful for teaching, for training, for correcting, and in righteousness. Now, I do want to say this. If we won't take the whole counsel of God, we're cheating ourselves. You ever handicapped yourselves or tied your shoes together when you're playing a soccer game? It's not good for you, right? We tie our shoes together when we refuse to crack open the Old Testament pages. You see, the Bible is meant to be taken for its full counsel. That doesn't mean you necessarily understand it, like Chronicles. Why does every tribe have to give a silver bowl and a silver spoon? Okay, I get it. The books were meant, they were written at a certain time for a certain people for a certain reason. But the principles and the truths that we can learn from them still apply to us today. Okay, so God wants us to get into this word, to take the time to study and understand it and get to know him better. And I'll tell you, today there is no excuse. There's no excuse today for not being able to get into his word and understand it, because the tools available today are phenomenal and amazing. I mean, you could pick up your phone, open Google Translate, say a sentence in English and have it translated to somebody else in another language, right? There's so many great tools that can help us if we're earnestly seeking God, if we'll take the time to read it. So many tools that can help us. One of my favorites that my girls turned me on to is called The Bible Project. Yes, The Bible Project is a series of YouTube videos that were put together. You watch about 5-minute clip before you read a book like Genesis or Exodus, and it gives you a great overview using pictures and it's hard to even describe it. Look it up, The Bible Project. If you struggle with reading in the Old Testament or some of the books make no sense to you, look up The Bible Project. There's a video for each and every book of the Bible. Watch it first, and it's gonna help you see, okay, now that makes sense. I get it. That's who they were talking to. Oh, here's the issue they were having, which is why they wrote the book. It's gonna help you tremendously. Don't cheat yourself by only reading the Psalms and the Proverbs and the book of John. There's so much more for you that God wants to speak to you about, okay? It's not a rebuke, it's an encouragement. They often sound very similar. If we will earnestly seek the Lord by reading his word, he's going to reveal himself, his purposes, his ways, his nature, his character, because he wants to speak to us. Okay, so we all believe that God wants to speak to us, right? Yes. We all believe that he is speaking even today. Yes. And when he does speak, just assume that he's going to speak to you. When he does speak, if what you're hearing is confusing, you feel guilty about it, you don't know how you're supposed to respond, I want to tell you this. You're not hearing from God, okay? You might be hearing from the flesh. You might be hearing from the enemy. You're not hearing from God, because when God speaks, he's clear. He's concise. It's easy to understand, and the way you obey is very clear. Doesn't mean it's easy to obey. You might be scared or nervous about, okay, you really want me to do that, God? But it's going to be clear, concise, easy to understand. You'll know what the next step is. That's when God speaks, okay? When God speaks, we need to be ready to respond. We need to have a listening ear. James 1:9 says, be quick to listen. Okay, that implies that we're in a position, a posture of being ready to hear from him, right? When you're so distracted all the time, you're not quick to listen because you're not hearing anything. And if we are quick to listen and God speaks, here's the other key. We got to make sure we obey right away. We got to obey right away. Hebrews 3:7 says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Just imagine God speaks and it's like he pours some concrete, okay? And if we just leave it over there and ignore it, it's going to harden and it's going to be very difficult to obey it. He's going to have to say the same thing all over again. God wants us to not be hard like concrete with our hearts, but rather be pliable, moldable, shapeable, ready to obey. Don't wait, don't delay. And I'll give you another tip too. Don't wait till you understand everything to obey. Don't wait till you fully understand. It doesn't work like that in the things of the kingdom. In the world, maybe you got to go to the job, you got to get trained on how to do the code, and you know, don't make a mistake. Make sure you know what you're doing. In the kingdom of God, it's totally different, because God knows all, sees all, understands all. He knows that we're never going to know it all. He calls us to walk by faith, take a step out on the waters. God expects us to obey him first. And when we obey, this is what I found. When I obey God, after I obey, that's when I begin to understand. That's what happened to me when I started giving. Okay, now I get it. This makes sense. I see how you wanted to use me, and I got to participate. You invited me. When I got invited to be on the kids team, I didn't want to be on the kids team for, you know, I got an invitation. It's like, okay, that's you, God. Okay, I'm going to go obey. And once I got in, started teaching kids, I realized, wow, the presence of the Holy Spirit is just as powerful and real and on the move in the education building as it is over here. Wow, God wants me to make disciples. This is the easiest place to make disciples. Teach them Bible verses. You know what I mean? It wasn't until after I obeyed that I began to understand, this makes sense. Praying in the Spirit like that. Don't expect to obey. Don't expect to understand everything before you obey. Obedience comes before understanding. The knowing is in the doing when it comes to the things of the kingdom. The knowing is in the doing. You'll know after you obey. Now, don't expect God to speak to you about your will. Jane wanted to know his will for her life. Do expect he's going to speak to you if you're seeking his will, his plans, his purposes first. And here's a couple things to know when you do feel like you've heard from the Lord, whether he speaks to you through a circumstance or creation or through one of your spiritual leaders or a boss. When he does speak to you, feel like, you know what, here's what you want to do. Make sure that you get a witness in your spirit. They're like, I believe that's the Lord. And the next step to take is invite somebody into the prayer circle with you, whether it's your small group leader or your spouse or pastor. Invite somebody in. Don't lone ranger it on your own. Say, God spoke to me, I'm off, I'm gone. Y'all see y'all later. God told me to go do this. Don't do that. Have some humility. Recognize that we see in part, we know in part. We don't fully understand things. We're part of a body for a reason, to keep each other constantly encouraged, but also to keep each other in check. And hey, that's weird. No, don't. No, you're not hearing from God, buddy. I'm sorry. I did that before because I thought God didn't know. It was a mistake. Invite people into the prayer circle. Tell people about what you're thinking. And most importantly, make sure it lines up with God's word. If you don't see it here in Scripture, if you feel like God's telling you to write another book of the Bible, you know what? The Bible actually says, don't add anything to this book, okay? God's not telling you to write another book of the Bible. I'm sorry, but it doesn't line up. You may have felt it in your heart. Your best friend may have told you, yeah, go for it. But the Bible says, don't add to this book. So 2 out of 3 is not good enough. 3 out of 3, there you go, okay? And like Jane learned from her dad, and he taught to me, is no peace, no go. You got to have that inner witness. Got to be clear, concise, easy to understand. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy to obey, but it will be. You know exactly what to do when God's speaking, okay? Now, when God seems silent, one of the questions we need to ask, is there something God told me to do that I refuse to do? Remember, go back to Jonah. It was pretty silent in the belly of the whale. I imagine the gases and the acids made some noise, but it was pretty silent in the belly of the whale, right? He had to go back and do the last thing God told him to do because he was being disobedient. Don't expect God to speak to you something totally new if you're not willing to do what he already said. What's your spiritual demeanor? Do you have faith? Do you believe that he wants to speak to you? Do you believe that you're going to hear his voice? The Bible says that we can't expect to receive anything from God if we don't believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him, right? Our spiritual demeanor needs to be one of, I believe God speaks and he wants to talk to me, okay? And if it takes some time, be patient. I know when it's Christmas time around my house, we have a lot of kids and it's time to open the presents, and I will not start until it's calm, okay? We're not opening presents. Y'all sit down. Let's pay attention. Everybody, let's be thankful. You know, all the important Christian dad things to do, right? Y'all can wait. I'm not in a hurry, you know. I've been waiting longer for this moment than anybody else, and I'm not in a hurry. God wants us to be patient. Just trust him. Just let the calm voices around you be still and have confidence to know that he wants to speak to you. Just calm down a little bit. Just settle down. And God's going to speak. Just be patient. In fact, he waited forever to make us, if you think about it, right? Because he's always existed. It took him a long time. Do I really want to make these people? This is going to be real. Not sure. Do I really? Eventually, he came to the conclusion of, yeah, it's going to be worth it. We're going to enjoy forever together. But he waited a long time. God's not in a hurry. We don't need to be either. Like Jane already said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the promise of Scripture to us. And I love the last part is, no one can snatch them out of my hands. If you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you are safe and secure in his arms. The devil can't snatch you out. You can't even, the Bible says that God measures the heavens with his hand breadth. So you can't run fast or far enough to get out of his hands if you're really one of his, okay? You're safe in his hands. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. Do you believe it? That's really the whole point of the message today. If you want to experience God, you got to believe that he wants to speak to you. And I'll tell you what, he's been speaking to you a lot. He's been speaking to you for a long time. You just probably didn't realize it, may not have understood it. And that's okay. We're all on a journey. God wants us to get to the next level in this step, in this level of discipleship. Let's all stand together as we close. And even with all this said, I know there's some people here today that you think, well, I know, but that's for good Christians like Jane Roland, you know. God really want to speak to me. I mean, you don't know the things I've done. You don't know the things I've thought, things I've said. Well, hang on just a minute. God spoke to Moses, and he was a murderer on the run for 40 years. God spoke to David, who is not just a murderer, but he was also an adulterer. And yet God was able to see him, no, he's a son after my own heart. God spoke to, get this, God spoke to Judas for 3 years, who was a doubter, a thief, and he betrayed and murdered the Son of God. God spoke to him for 3 years. He was patient, kind, loving, encouraging. In fact, going one step further, God spoke to the devil himself. Spoke to the devil himself. Now, if God is willing to speak to the devil, then he can speak to you and me, no matter what we've done or what our experience is. He wants to speak to his sons and his daughters. We're his sheep. He wants to guide and direct us if we'll believe. As one last category, there's some people he can't speak to. Their ears are not yet open, and that's simply those that are not a part of his family yet. And so today I want to implore you, those of you who are watching online, those of you who are with us in person, that's the one thing that might keep you from hearing his voice if you don't yet know him. So I want to invite our ministry team up to the front, our small group leaders, our staff members. Our ministry team is here to meet with you. If you can honestly say, I don't know if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, don't leave the building today without talking to one of these individuals. Don't worry about shame or embarrassment. We all need to take this step by faith. And I want to invite you in just a moment. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask everybody who, if you want to come and dedicate your life to the Lord, we want you to come forward and meet with one of these people. But there's some people, you just need help. You're struggling. God told you to do something, and you're having a hard time obeying it. That's what we're here for. We want to pray with you. Some of you, you know you're supposed to get baptized, but it's just, I don't know if I can get in front of all those people. They're going to make me say something. First of all, no, we won't. Second of all, yes, you do need to get in front of all those people. That's how it works. But thirdly, we want to help you and give you the instructions you need so that you can obey God and take the steps of obedience and baptism. Hey, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, these people are here to help you if you need help. But with that said, I'm going to pray. You're welcome to come now or as I'm praying or even after we pray. Well, let's bow our heads together before the Lord and ask him to solidify the words that we've heard today. And we do ask you that, Holy Spirit, that the words of the flesh, the words of man would wash out, we wouldn't remember, but rather the words of your Spirit that are life and that are truth, that are joy and peace. We want them to rest in our hearts. Help us to believe you, to walk in the truth that you do still speak, that you want to speak to us and guide us and direct us in our lives. We invite you in and help us, Lord, where you've already spoken and we know what we're supposed to do and we're terrified or nervous or afraid. Help us. Give us the strength, Holy Spirit, the courage, Holy Spirit, to step out and obey. We love you. We honor you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, the altar's open, so I invite you to come at this time. But at the very least, take what we've talked about here today. We want to experience the presence of God. Let's take this word and ruminate on it and apply it to our lives because he's good and he's worthy. Amen. Hey, y'all, thank you for coming today. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. We'll see you later this week.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing.